Welcome to the NFL Legends Podcast, an NFL podcast for the players by the players. Here is your host, 14-year NFL veteran and Hall of Famer, Aeneas Williams.
Hi, I'm Aeneas Williams. Welcome to part two. Today is a treat. So I'm here with Mark Patterson. Listen in.
Here's the deal, and here's the secret. The secret is this, and this has to do with football, this has to do with mountain climbing, this has to do with business, is that success leaves clues. And if you have the power of curiosity and you want to look out there, it will point you to the road that you need to go down to figure it out. But you got to keep asking the question, how? It's like Claudette when she was young, you know, why? You know, that three-year-old phase, sure. You have four kids.
Yes.
That when they're why, how come? You know, and because kids, you know, they're just like, you know, trying to figure it all out. Everything is new. You know, the sun comes out, that's new. It rains, it snows, that's all new. What's this? And if you follow that same mindset, you know, that will lead you to where you need to be. But you got to keep going, and you can't sit there and play the pity game about what am I going to do now and how did I get here and all this stuff. I mean, that's where you go upside. You know, what am I going to do about it? And that, I think, is where you really start to transform and where you want to go.
So how would you share that with legends that are listening that may be stuck, that may have gotten, quote-unquote, thrown out?
Yeah. Well, I think, again, going back to some of the things that we talked about, which is, one, the trust. Seems like they put together a lot of really fantastic programs to help from the psychological to the physical to actual programs from broadcasting to business, some of these other places that and resources that you can tap into, which we didn't have back in the day. So
did you take advantage of any of those now that you know that they're available to legends?
No. Because my business career was already well down the tracks,
gotcha.
Right? And so that wasn't, you know, so it wasn't. But, you know, I've kept in touch with the trust and, you know, other benefits like a free YMCA membership, right, I've tapped into, right, in Sun Valley, Idaho, and other things like that, mm-hmm. some little perks. So it's been more about that. But, you know, whether it's me mentoring somebody or having a podcast like this, I mean, I can tell you this with certainty is that every single day I listen to things in my brain on podcasts mostly that help fuel some kind of learning. And I've come away with listening to a lot of podcasts here mm-hmm. on your show. And I also have come away from a lot of other shows of like, that's an interesting way to think about things. And so as long as I always have positivity going in my brain about trying to learn and grow, I think you're on the right course.
How did you reconnect with the Legends community? How did you connect with the Legends community?
You know what? I can't even remember. I mean, I think the Legends has done a really good job of trying to aggregate a lot of emails. And so there's correspondence in
Correct.
Terms of
yes.
a newsletter that I get on. I think Tracy Perlman and her group have been fantastic. I was down at the Super Bowl this last year and going around and doing a bunch of podcast interviews. I had just come off of Vincent in Antarctica and Claudette and I had flown down to Atlanta. It was a lot of fun. And so it seems like that the most amazing another gift that's come out of this is that for a guy who played 30 years ago, my climbing and trying to become the first NFL player to ever climb the seven summits has made my football days a little bit relevant again.
Relevant.
Yeah.
There's a thought that came to my mind as I was listening to you. 30 years out,
yeah,
climbing, you heard a podcast, because I asked you, how did you find out about this podcast?
Yeah.
So you listen to a podcast, you hear the closeout, reach out
yeah.
if there's a story or something. Tell me about that.
Well, you know, I think this goes back to like life and when you were asking, like you walk into a Starbucks and how would you ever connect the dots of
right.
like you're going to become the vendor to create all these things for 14 years and taking me again 2.5 years to get. So there's no certainty. And that is that when I heard your podcast and it also is promoted through, I think, the NFL mm-hmm. PA Flyer, I reached out, and at the very bottom, hey, if you know any interesting stories, you know, reach out. And I reached out, and then I reached out again, and I reached out. You asked Melissa, your assistant, how many times I've reached out to her. I'm a royal pain in her ass.
How many times roughly you think you've reached out?
Over 10. Yeah, easy.
You just repetitive.
I just have this mindset, and my daughter Claudia has followed me in this, which I love her because she's a little go-getter about this, but it's just until
you... Well, she's not little.
She's 23 years old. Yeah.
She's pretty tall here.
Yeah, yeah. She's a rock star, right? So it is until you tell me no, which I'm totally good with that answer, until you tell me no, I'm going to consider it a maybe or a yes.
Gotcha.
And that's just the way when you approach things like that, and you're cordial and you're very professional about it, then I think things can have a breakthrough. And again, if the answer is no, I'm totally cool with that too. But you guys said yes, thank you.
Exactly. Yeah. So for me, no is just for today. It don't mean always.
That's right.
So I may call you next week as well.
You should.
The curiosity thought that you shared is what I heard the late Steve Jobs talk about. Mm. Stay curious.
Yeah.
Because I thought about when you mentioned your daughter, when we're younger, we ask why. And now as I'm 51, keeping that same mindset.
Yeah.
Which seems to be a motivator for growth and changes in our lives. So I'm going to transition here as we close out. In preparing for Mount Everest, take me through how you train and prepare for something like that.
Yeah, it's pretty massive. Well, the first thing is I train twice a day.
Twice a day, how many hours?
Yeah, this is in between Sports Illustrated. So I get up in the morning and I train for 1 hour and I do CrossFit in a gym. And then at 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, I run up a mountain. So that's one. So part of that then too is last year, a year and a half ago, I fully committed myself to what I was doing at hand. And I moved to Sun Valley from Hermosa Beach, which is right on, obviously on the ocean, so mm-hmm. 0 feet. And I moved to 6,000 feet. And so what that does is the higher you go, and the reason why Mount Everest is so difficult is because you get into something called the death zone at 26,000 feet.
The what zone?
The death zone.
Death.
Yes. And the reason why you get that is because there's not much oxygen that's up there. And so what happens is you have to spend, I'll be on the mountain for 2 months. And in order to do that, I have to build up red blood cells, and the red blood cells carry oxygen around your body. And so you're trying to build up more of those so you have more oxygen that's flowing so that when you ultimately go for that peak, mm-hmm. You're going to give yourself a better chance to get up there than if you just flew over there and tried to run up the mountain, which nobody can do. So by me living at 6,000 feet, I'm automatically generating more red blood cells than if, for example, if you came over mm-hmm. there and I ran you up a mountain, you'd be pretty winded pretty quickly. Because you just don't have as much capacity as I do. So
it's a process.
It's a process. So moving to a new town at 6,000 feet, working out twice a day, I make something every day called my 7 Summit Smoothie. And it's full of protein powder and a bunch of other...
This is what you would eat as you're going up?
No, this is what I'm eating today. So I'm preparing, right? Preparation meets opportunity. So I'm getting myself... And then what I really try to do more than anything is put myself in a really stressful situation. So the winter is now upon us, and we're going to get a ton of snow as of today.
Right.
Okay? And so there's something called skinning, which is you take a sandpaper-type material... You put them on the bottom of your skis and you ski up the mountain mm-hmm. and you go to the top. Then you get to the top, you rip off this skin, this sandpaper type of material, and then you ski down. So getting from bottom to the top, I mean, most people ski down, I ski up. So it winds you, it's exhausting. You have headlamps on. I'm out there before the mountain can actually open. So I'm in the pitch black. And it's
mountain can actually open? What do you mean?
Well, like it's on the ski mountain where we ski, which there's a ski resort there.
Okay, gotcha. Okay.
Yep. And right. So the mountain opens at 8 o'clock in the morning. So that's when people can start skiing. So you got to be over there around 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning. And it's probably one degree. And so, you know, who wants to do that? Not many people. But when you stack that up against, if you really want to stress your body and you put yourself in the best position possible, that when bad things are going to happen on Everest, and they will, going through the Kumbaya field and everything else, that you've taken your body and you've stretched yourself out so that you're ready to take those things on.
Parallels to football?
Absolutely. I really believe, and you can appreciate this, I really believe that to be mentally strong, you have to physically task your body all the way to the limit. I don't think it can go the other way around. I don't think, in other words, you can sit in a room, you can watch a movie or read a book and say, I'm going to be mentally strong. Mm-hmm. You're mentally strong because of the physical
exertion, going through it.
Yeah, that we used to do back when we were, you know, going through two-a-days, going through all those mini camps, OTAs.
How many times have you already saw yourself at the top?
A lot. So much so, I've got it on my phone right here, and you saw it.
So you do the rigorous training. Are there times where you take a moment, sit down, and see yourself at the top?
I do, and, you know, to put that further, I've also converted my garage. I've put a Peloton bike out there. And the one thing that I say to my kids, and I say to myself all the time, Claudette, is what?
It takes a little more to make a champion.
It takes a little more to make a champion. Mm-hmm. And so right on I've got that printed, you know, right above. So it's one of those inspirational sayings for me that I know that I have to go a little bit extra to get there. And then when I'm riding this Peloton, as you pull into the garage and you go through the door to get upstairs, I went out and got letters, you know, 5 inches tall that say 29,029 feet. So I'm visualizing myself at the top of that mountain every single time I jump on that Peloton. So it's just, you know, eyes on the target, totally focused on what I got to do.
Because it takes a little bit more.
Because it takes a little more to make a champion.
To make a champion.
Yeah.
Final couple of questions. So many legends are searching for their own Mount Everest.
Yeah.
And their drive and passion. What is your advice to legends who are searching?
I think if you sit back and you think about it too long, then you're going to be sitting there thinking about it too long. I think through action creates reaction. So you start going down a certain path, and maybe that's the right path or maybe that's the wrong path, but that's going to open a door towards either this is not for me, or it's going to pull back and say, for sure, I'm never going to go down this, but it's going to also make you go down this because you've met somebody and there's some domino effect over there.
Gotcha.
But I think the biggest thing that we all fall into, and this was my problem, you know, 10 years ago, which is that I was stuck in cement. And the worst thing you can be is where you're just treading water. And I think as long as you're going in some positive, healthy direction towards some goal, then good things can come out of that. It may not be that exact goal, but you're starting to have the power of curiosity, mm-hmm. and you're starting to step into the fear, and you're starting to do some things that might make you a little bit uncomfortable, but it's the best thing you can possibly be doing.
So when you say stuck in cement,
yeah,
what was your mindset at that time when you felt you were stuck in cement?
Well, it's kind of like, you know, should I do this or should I do that? Or should I, you know, it's just like you're not.
Indecision.
Indecision, yeah. And you know, like, you know, playing safety, indecision, you'll get toasted every time. You got to commit to wherever you're going to go on the field, and that's what you're going to do. And maybe it's successful and maybe it's not, but at least you're going to learn from that and whatever decision you make.
What is the sense of accomplishment like after a climb in comparison to a win on the football field?
Well, you know, it's totally different, you know, because I've been very fortunate to be that receiver in the last final seconds where you catch the ball and you go over the top of a cornerback and you catch, you know, the fans go crazy and you get carried off. I've been through that and it's been amazing. And that's more like in the moment. You prepare and you're in the moment. And you ask a question, an interesting question, a good question, you know, before we went on, mm-hmm. which is like what that's like at the very top. So do you start high-fiving? And while you kind of do that, you still got a long way to go because for every foot you go, you know, up, you got to go another foot going down. And you're so exhausted after going 16 hours, nonstop, low on water, no food, You've been going throughout the night with a headlamp. You know, when we got up on Kilimanjaro, for example, I was with Chris Long and a bunch of other NFL guys. And one of our guys was a cowboy. He went blind in an eye. Another guy went down to San Diego Charger. He got knocked out. We had to put him on oxygen. He passed out. Chris Long was delirious. He was walking around the top. Mora had to go over and grab him from walking off the cliff. I mean, goofy things happen at high altitude. And I've seen it all. And so the whole point of they're just, it's an apple and an orange, because mountain climbing is that celebration kicks in when you get back to the bottom safely versus the very top where you think you'd be, you know, high-fiving and, you know, you take some pictures and it's awesome, but you're like, okay, here we go. Versus, you know, in the moment, last second, touchdown, game over, awesome. A little bit different.
As you were describing that, once you get to the top, it's not over. So yeah. I'm literally seeing you, okay, we don't celebrate. You got to survive getting back down here, right?
Yeah.
I thought about the college playoff system or the college overtime where, okay, you score another touchdown, but the other team can go score another one. And this thing can go on.
Yeah.
I think I saw LSU, maybe Texas A&M last year, play one of the closest, longest games in history.
Yeah.
So being able to, I guess when you're at the top, stay even keel?
Yeah.
Would you... Describe it like that?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, it's again, my tent mate from Antarctica last year is still sitting up at 29,000 feet. He didn't make it. And part of one of the reasons why he didn't make it or other people don't make it, and while I really try to focus on, and there's this thing called self-care, right? And self-care is like knowing when to put the right kind of mittens on when it's minus 40 degrees, knowing when to put your goggles on so you don't go snow blind, making sure that you're hydrating. Ironically, the higher you go, the more calories you're burning, but you don't have any kind of appetite. Your appetite's suppressed. And so you have to force yourself to eat, you know, little snacks that you have along the way. You have to force yourself to drink water. You have to force yourself to drink tea.
That's why you said earlier your guy came and shoved
protein bar down my mouth. I hadn't done any of those things.
Gotcha.
I didn't feel like eating, right? And so, you know, it's just like when we're on the football field, if you don't have your energy, a lot of times, I know the nutrition has changed a little bit, but you go in and you have the orange slices of the apples or something, and then we put those down just to, because you put out so much energy between pregame and also between the first half that by the time you get to the halftime, you're just fried. So you need to have something to replenish a little bit to keep you sustained on what you're trying to do.
So on the way flying here, American Airlines, we were at 39,000 feet elevation. And I was shocked how cold it was.
Yeah.
Because it tells you the minus, it was like minus 69.
Yeah.
So the higher you go, is it?
Yeah. You're in the jet stream up there.
Wow.
Yeah. It's cold. It's cold.
Cold.
Yeah.
I am fascinated by this unique goal. How else I would describe this? I already see at the top.
Yeah.
But now I can see at the bottom just by listening to you.
Thank you.
And your preparation. Mark, this has been an amazing podcast. I'm so glad you reached out. Because what you don't realize, not only the listeners, I've learned a lot listening to you.
Yeah.
And it... One of the things we just had a podcast with Ryan Leaf.
Yeah.
And I tell former players, legends, all the time, I said, just remember what it took to be successful.
Yeah.
At what we do, at what we did. And apply these things in our lives. We had one of my greatest assets as a cornerback was the ability to get over a bad play. So as I listen to your story, the challenge, your marriage, your childhood, I mean, your high school sweetheart, and finally getting out the, I forgot how you describe it, stuck.
Yeah.
Umbrellas, Starbucks.
Yeah.
I'm repeating this because I want it for emphasis, for legends and anybody that's listening to this. As we close out, how would you, and maybe you've said it, and maybe I'm reaching for even something else you may have to share with us. How do legends handle their summits. I know you said some things earlier. Is there anything else?
Yeah, there is. And everything you said is beautiful. And Ryan Leaf is a good guy. I've worked out with him in L.A. And gotten to know him a little bit. He went to Washington State. I went to Washington. Yeah. So there's kind of a natural rubbing there. But, you know, I think the thing, this is the thing that was beautiful that you just said, is that tapping back into the things that made us originally successful. Mm. And that's what I had to go back and do. And what made me successful is what my head coach at Washington had taught me about John Wooden's pyramid of success. Mm-hmm. And so what Coach James had done is he just took his pyramid of success, this is Coach Wooden's, mm-hmm. and made it and applied it to football. So rather than have the NCAA championship, he put it up for us the national championship. Gotcha. But if you ever take a look at it, it's 25 individual and team goals that anybody has to go through in order to hit the pinnacle. Mm. And so for me, I've really taken that to heart. And so the individual things I can do, getting bigger, getting stronger, getting faster in my 40-yard, learning really how to catch that mm-hmm. ball, bring it in, and mountain climbing, learning how to use my ice axe, be on a rope team, crevasse rescue, all these different things, same deal. And then you get in the team aspect, and ultimately you get to the very, very, very pinnacle. And what the very pinnacle is competitive greatness. Mm. And that's where you finally start. But you, in order to hit competitive greatness, you got to love the journey all the way through. You got to love the process. Because the process, as you know, is always hard. But that's where the true joy comes in.
Mark, this has been outstanding. And I would love to bring you back on a podcast after you've conquered the seventh mountain, yeah. Mount Everest. Still Thank it. You so much. Thank you for listening in. The best is yet to come.
This has been the NFL Legends Podcast. To provide feedback or request a topic for discussion, email us at nfllegends@nfl.com.